thank you. In fact, any form of gratitude actually was completely foreign to him. And shortly into our marriage, I started feeling very unloved and kind of taken for granted. And the battle over that took its toll.
Maybe you relate to Kathy. We're going to hear the rest of her story coming up a little later in the show today. Dr. Randy here from Intentional Living. What is it that has helped you turn your marriage around? One of the things we're committed to at Intentional Living is bringing you hopeful stories, real people who have maybe journeyed into a corner that they didn't intend to get into or to a pothole that they feel stuck, and yet God has helped them through their intentional living in Him make a difference. So the question today is, what one thing can you do or would need to do or maybe stop doing that would make the biggest difference in your marriage to have a turnaround? We'd love to hear what it is on our storyline. You can call us live right now at 888-888-1717. As far as the radio show is concerned today, we're pulling from our archives. We got the callers all ready to go. People who've shared some stories, we'll get to those and some questions coming up as well. Turning your marriage around, if you're struggling, needing to make a difference in making your marriage get on track, please, can I encourage you? Don't cash it in. Don't throw your marriage away. Don't run to the divorce attorney. Take some time. Give God an opportunity to maybe do something. I know some of you are saying, you don't get it, Randy. I've been down this trail and my spouse isn't changing. I understand that. And there may be some intervention that needs to take place and some other reality, as my friend Kevin Lehman would say, some reality discipline that needs to take place. I understand that. So get good counsel. But we live in a time today where we can't tolerate being comfortable, and we want things instant. We want things fixed instantly. And we know the research is clear on marriage, that those who really hang on and work and start to rebuild their marriage and work on their marriage together report 3 years later how much happier they are than they've ever been when it comes to their marriage. So that's my encouragement. Turning your marriage around, the topic today, come on in. This is Intentional Living.
Hey, Dr. Carlson, I've been listening to your program for about a month or two now on my way home from work, and today you were talking about criticism in your marriage and some of the problems it causes and creates. And it's something I've been thinking about personally and trying to do because, you know, after working all day, I go home and my frustration seems to go to my husband. So today I'm going to take a first step and do as you're saying and try to make my husband feel good about himself and not criticize him as I have been, even jokingly. So I thank you. I love your program, and I'm hoping to make some great changes in my life. Thanks, Dr. Carlson.
Well, you're doing the work, but thank you. I always like to be appreciated, and I'm glad we can be here for you. But you're the one that has made the decision, as you've looked into your marriage, to say criticism is not getting the kind of results that I want in my marriage. And so you're saying you're choosing to go home now and behave differently. You're choosing to behave differently. And that change in behavior alone will make a huge difference. There's no doubt about it. 30 days from now, you call me back and you've been criticism-free for 30 days. You've been encouraging. You have been uplifting. You've been respecting, been challenging when you need to, resolving problems together. I can guarantee you 30 days from today, you'll look back and say, wow, together some great things happened in our marriage. Here is a fact of life. If you choose to be intentional living in your marriage as a follower of Christ, your marriage will change because you change. Does it mean it's always going to get better? It may not, because you can't, you know, you don't have the power to change your spouse. But I can guarantee you, if you step up and choose to be intentional in your behavior, in your attitude, in your words, in your marriage, in a way that honors Christ, you're going to be different. No question about it. Okay, let's get going here. 888-888-1717. Ruben is in Texas. Ruben, welcome to Intentional Living Center today.
Thank you for having me.
Appreciate your call. Talk to me about what's going on in your marriage. How can we help you today?
Well, the last Thursday, the wife fell to temptation of adultery again, and it's it looks like it's over this time. She's pretty much had it set that she hasn't been happy in the past several years, and this was all coming to light with him in the last few months. It's been a long, it would have been 26 years in April. And, you know, we've always, throughout the years, we've hurt each other. I've done wrong things, she's done wrong things, and the difference being that I could usually forgive and forget and just put it away, but anytime we had an argument, she would bring up the old past and the stuff I did in 1985 or 1992, and it just basically, it never left her mind. And I guess that piled up to where she claims she still loves me, but it's all covered in that old hurt and that old pain. And no matter what I tried, the last several years, I was nothing but an exemplary husband. I treated her for everything. I served her hand and foot, planned romantic outings and romantic dates. And it just was falling on a deaf heart, I guess, on deaf ears. And she finally fell again to that temptation, and she's moved. She moved to another city with her sister. And she's playing pretty much starting over. She's already convinced herself that she's got a new phone. She's going to get a new job there. And I'm still believing, and it might sound silly, but I still have hope that she would come back.
Well, see, Reuben, what happens is sometimes even with good behavior, even when we say I'm going to do this next right one thing and I'm going to do it, you know, because I want to heal my marriage or I want to make things better, for the other person, for the person who's been hurt, damaged in their relationship and their view of the relationship and so on, from their perspective, it's nothing more than a Band-Aid on a cancer. And you see it as something positive. You see it as, hey, let's go in a new hopeful way. And she's interpreting it differently. One of the difficulties about talking about marriage, unlike talking about just an individual or personal growth or personal development, is that when we talk about those things, we're talking about you, when you call, things you can do for your life, things that are going to make a difference in your life. But when we talk about marriage, we got two people. And in this case, Reuben, you can't change her, but let me encourage you to do, we talk about 30 days, one thing. Let me encourage you for the next 30 days, pray for your wife every day. Every day. You pray that God will move in her heart. And I'm going to add a second thing for you, and that is you pray that God will give you strength to continue to stay focused on the priority that you have before Christ in your relationship with Him and your love for your wife, but at the same time willing to say and express to your wife you want to get this resolved, but you've got to get into some counseling together to see if there, you know, if there's going to be hope or not. The unfortunate thing that happens, and I've seen this, and what upsets me and hurts me when I see couples, is this type of thing is not necessary. It doesn't have to happen. It's so much of what we do, it's what we do to ourselves and in our marriages. And like you said, Reuben, it's a collection over many, many years. It kind of collects and catches up with you after time. I'll tell you what I want you to do. I want you to hang on, Reuben. I want to have Sally to get your address, if you'll share it with me. I want to send you a copy of my book, Starved for Affection. If you and your wife are willing to work on some things together, if that's even a part of the equation for her, there's some exercises in there and some practical things for couples who are struggling in the area of intimacy and closeness in marriage. I hope that'll be a help. But boy, the ultimate, pray for her and get into counseling together, at least for yourself. Okay, Gus, welcome to the program. We're talking about one thing for 30 days. My friend, what do you think it would be?
Well, I think it would be to keep Christ in the center, you know, go to church, have a good pastor. Because, you know, when you got married, most likely you got married in a church under God. So you have to keep God in the center of it. And it's like you not just married that person, but you married Christ, because, you know, we're the body of Christ. So if you keep Christ in the center and not yourself, like you said, if you marry for wanting things for yourself, they never work out. You know, you have to be willing to change. Mm-hmm. But one thing, I think, is to keep Christ in the center of it.
And how has that gone in your marriage? Of what? It says here 32 years.
Yeah, 32 years. And, you know, when we first got married, we went to church all the time. And in the middle of it, I quit going to church, and that seems like that's when Satan can attack, is when you're not mm-hmm. in a good church. And the last 8 years, I've found a good church. Our priest is a good minister, and he's a good teacher. And you know, and I don't listen to the regular radio. I listen to Family Life Radio, and that's what helps me, because it keeps you. If you have good friends, and you have a good church family, and you have a strong faith.
Yeah, and you know, there's a study that's been done, Gus, on church attendance and people who are, you know, go to church, and marriage. And what the research has shown that's been done on marriages that are Christian marriages is it's not just being, quote, a Christian marriage, but a couple who are active in their church, they have a personal relationship with Christ, and they really have a true heart of repentance, and they really have an attitude of serving God and serving each other. In other words, not only are they saying, hey, am I Christian, but they're a Christian. They really are living intentionally in their faith, not perfectly, but intentionally. The divorce rate is substantially less. Man, you know, I think, well, hello, that makes sense, doesn't it? Sort of that's a pretty common sense kind of understanding. When we're committed to Christ, we're committed to each other, and we're living out our faith intentionally, here's the fact. Statistically, you have a much lower chance of having divorce. Makes sense to me. Thank you, Gus. Appreciate your call.
Hello, my husband and I have been married 21 years, and we both are very intentional, I feel. But we do obviously get sidetracked by outside influences, and we have 3 children living at home and 1 that just moved out, and so much going on that it was just hard. And I found that a lot of the people he worked with were very anti-marriage. Their sentiments were kind of wearing him down. And both he and I started being overly sensitive to the other's comments. And finally, it came to a head, and I just demanded the kids had a week off of school for fall break, and I just begged and pleaded that I wanted to go on a vacation, even a little cheapy vacation, camping, whatever. And in doing so and getting away from the outside influences for even just the 5 days, we were able to reconnect and just see each other for who we are and how much we love each other, and just to have that all become real again. It was amazing. And so we've been back on track now for about a month and a half, and it seems just as good as it did the day we got back from vacation.
Good for you. That's what I call planned spontaneity. Put a little bit of that in your marriage. In fact, I talk about that in the book, Starved for Affection. People ask, how can I get Starved for Affection? It's a book that I wrote for couples who really want to have the vitality in their marriage to understand what love and respect is all about, with a lot of practical application. It's available here through the ministry, and you can find it when you go to theintentionallife.com. Randy Carlson here at the Intentional Living Center, talking marriage today, and about, you know, what one thing could make the biggest difference in your marriage. One thing, if you were to do it for the next day, the next week, maybe the next month, maybe for the rest of your life, what would it be? We say this because so often we can get sidetracked with 1,000 things, but what one thing would make a difference? Let's find out from Kathy, who's on the line in Kansas. Welcome to the program, Kathy.
Thank you, Dr. Randy. How are you?
Good. Appreciate your call. What would that one thing be?
Well, my husband and I will be married 33 years, and okay. there were several differences in our marriage. There's a 10-year age difference, and he has a military and law enforcement background. And thank you. In fact, any form of gratitude actually was not was completely foreign to him. And shortly into our marriage, I started feeling very unloved and kind of taken for granted, and the battle over that took its toll. One day I decided that instead of pointing out how ungrateful he was for things, I'd start being grateful to him for anything he did. I thanked him for handing me a cup of coffee in the morning. I thanked him for taking out the trash. I thanked him because he took care of himself. I started letting him know how much I appreciated all the good things he did and all the sacrifices he made. And what we found was gratitude opened the door for both of us to make a lot of changes in several areas of our marriage. And instead of ending up in divorce court, we're getting ready to celebrate our 33rd wedding anniversary.
Well, congratulations. You know, my friend Gary Chapman talks about love languages, and obviously your love language is words of appreciation, words. You like to hear them, and he probably has a totally different love language.
Acts of service.
Acts of service. So it's doing. It's. Why do I have to say it? I'm just doing it, you know.
That was right.
Yeah, and you miss each other. But you chose, instead of seeing that as an obstacle to something to divide you, you chose to take a proactive approach to really express to him your love language back to him, which is, thank you, I appreciate that, I love you for that, I respect you for that. And those words broke through.
They did. I think, honestly, I think our society has forgotten courtesy and gratitude. I think it's an underutilized Christian virtue.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, good for you. Kathy, I'm glad you've done that. And listen, 33 years ain't bad in this day and age in your marriage, and we pray you have many more yet to come.
Thank you. God bless you, and God
thank
bless you,
you
for what you do.
Glad to do it. Appreciate your call from Kansas today.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
You will improve your marriage by doing this one thing. Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson with an Intentional Minute. Listen fully to what your spouse is saying. You know, so often when our spouse is speaking to us, come on now, I even have this with Donna. Sometimes when I'm trying to hear what she's saying, I'm coming up with my answer before she even speaks. And so to really hear another person in marriage, clarify the words, not only the words, but the meaning and the feeling. So the next time your spouse comes to you and says something, don't be afraid to say, did I hear you say? Can I clarify to make sure that what you said is what I actually heard? One of the things that we do in marriage communication that kills good communication is we take a position too soon. And once we take a position in marriage, then we have to defend it. And when we defend it, it builds a wall in the relationship. So here's one thing for the next 30 days. Talk until you both are fully understood. That's intentional living.
Visit us at theintentionallife.com.
Yes, my wife and I have been married going on 35 years. Our story is that we are both physically handicapped and have been since birth. And if it works for us, it can work for anyone. And I guess the first thing I would say is we put Christ first, and then we just treat each other. You know, a marriage is not 50-50. It's really 100% on each part. I just wanted to let you know. Okay, thanks a lot.
That kind of humbles us, doesn't it, when we think about some of the issues we face in our relationships. And here Link is saying, hey, my wife and I are both disabled and struggling with things when it comes to our physical, but hey, listen, we love each other and we're making it work with God's help. Powerful. Which raises the question again that we emphasize around the power of one thing. What is one thing that would make a difference in your marriage? Or what one thing is making a difference? Or what one thing needs to go so your marriage can be different? And if you'll tell me what it is and commit for the next 30 days to either add it or subtract it, we want to encourage you. We're all about people finding success in this thing of living intentionally. And we'll send you the one thing wristband from the ministry. In fact, same one that I'm wearing right now. I said to the team, let's get it out. We didn't have it in the budget, but let's get it out and send it to folks who are willing to make a commitment for your life, just for you to say, hey, this is my one thing for the next 30 days, and we'll get it to you. Just go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com/WB. for wristband, and you'll see a page pop up, and you can fill out the information, and we'll get that to you. We've had a lot of people, hundreds of people who've already responded saying, hey, we're on this journey with you and want to be a part of it. That's why we're here. That's why this ministry exists. And I do want to say this. I just have about 30 seconds. to say, listen, I appreciate those of you who are praying for us, for our team, for our board, for our staff, for me, for my family, because we certainly have a spiritual battle in this world today. You know it. It's happening in our homes, our families. It's happening in the streets of America and around the world. Now more than ever, if we don't reach the next generation with this message of being a follower of Christ and what does it mean and then living intentionally, we're going to lose out a great deal. So we're here for you. We're here to encourage you and your kids and grandkids as well. So again, your one thing, tell us what it is at theintentionallife.com/WB.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. With today's program being on marriage, and since most of you are still waiting to start your Intentional One Thing Challenge, I thought, why not choose one thing for the next 30 days that will improve your marriage? Maybe speaking encouraging words to your spouse every day, or do one thing completely unexpected but helpful every day, or listen with both eyes and both ears. These are some of the things that people are doing who are already in the Intentional One Thing Challenge. What about you? Go to theintentionallife.com/one thing. Randy.
All right, that's good. And Kurt was mentioning these one things. We have a list of the top 10 intentionals for love and respect in marriage at our website. Here's just some of the top 10. Listen without interruption for the next 30 days. Just listen. Just listen. Feeling heard creates intimacy in your marriage. How about this? Number 5 on the list. Speak only words of encouragement to and about your spouse for the next 30 days. You'll learn a lot about yourself. You'll learn a lot about your marriage. If you don't think you can do it for 30 days, try it for 48 hours. See how that turns out. Here's one. Number 7. If you are raising children together, just determine that during the next 30 days, you're going to get on the same page. Even if that's hard for you to do, at least agree to take your disagreements behind closed doors. Remember, there is intimacy in agreement. There's some thoughts for you. Today, we're talking about one thing, and I know we've talked what's coming in, though. We've been hearing problems. We've been hearing people having challenges. And here's the point of today's program from my perspective. Every journey, we've heard it said, begins with a first step. And if you're feeling stuck today in your marriage, if you're feeling overwhelmed, if you're feeling discouraged, if you're feeling trapped, you're feeling you don't know what to do, and you read these books and there's 92 things that you can do, right? Or you watch a video, there's 92 things you can do, and probably all 92 of them are good, but you ain't going to do 92 things. That's just reality. And for those of us who can get easily distracted or ADD or procrastinate, pick one thing from the list of things that you hear or you know, one thing that you could do, just a small thing to get started for the next day, the next week, the next month. What would it be and what difference would it make? Kitty wants to weigh in on this from Georgia today. Kitty, welcome to Intentional Living.
Hi, Dr. Randy. How are you doing?
Good. I'm doing well. Appreciate your call. What's your take on this thing of one thing and what would it be in your marriage?
Well, my husband and I have been married for 20 years, and we have 8 children. And I was sharing with somebody earlier that I found out pretty quickly into our marriage that he wasn't perfect, and it didn't take very long to figure that out. And I think I spent a lot of time focusing on the things that he wasn't doing that I wanted him to do. And he kind of brought this up to me several times over the years, and I think about a couple years ago, it really hit me what he was trying to share, that if I could just focus on the things he was doing, they really far outweigh the negative. And I started to change my perspective just by keeping a list of things that I really appreciate about him. And I got to where I couldn't stop adding to the list. There were so many things that he does. He's very affectionate. He's thoughtful. He's helpful. He's caring. He's godly. All the important stuff is there. But I think that if you focus on the one or two negative things, I've seen people go to divorce court over less than that. Right. And that's really helped me a lot.
Yeah, we used to say, count your many blessings and name them one by one. You do that in your marriage, and it makes a difference.
Definitely.
Great way to end the calls today. Thank you, Kitty, for your
Thank
call.
You.
I'm glad you're listening in Georgia today.
Thank you so much.
All right. God bless you.
As a head person, sometimes our thinking can be used to manipulate or control other people or feel superior. On the other hand, sometimes as a head person, our thinking can be used against ourselves as we lie to ourselves. Can I encourage us to think about Ephesians 4:23 for a moment, where Paul tells us to be renewed in the spirit of our minds, allowing the Holy Spirit to minister to our thinking, to put our thinking into perspective, and to think in a way that honors Christ. The power of thinking, you know, the verse that I have sort of hung on to as one of my life verses is Philippians 4:8, that says, whatever things are true and right and admirable and praiseworthy and of good report, to think on such things. Paul is reminding us that where we get trapped often is in our heads. I see it so often with the people that are around me. You can have someone who's in a good mood, things going along, and all of a sudden an expectation isn't met, or they hear something and their thinking changes and they can slip into a funk so easily. And I think it can happen to all of us. And that can then impact how we behave and how we relate and so on. And Satan loves to take advantage of those things in our lives. And so the encouragement today, again, is as we think about these windows to the world, thinking is one of them, our heads. If you're a head person, you know, do what the scripture says to be renewed in the spirit of our minds, as I just shared with you from the book of Ephesians. If you're new to the show this month and you wonder what I'm talking about, head, heart, and hand, it's part of intentional living. I call it three windows to your world. Some of you are head people, that's the way you view life. Some of you are heart people, that's sort of your view of life, and others hands, getting it done, that's your view of life. God's intention is for each of these to be in balance in our life. It's something we all wrestle with, and the lesson this month is designed to encourage you to see how that works and some steps you can take to grow, and maybe in an area that needs some growth in your life. And I just want to say thank you to those of you who've been praying for us here at Intentional Living, supporting the ministry, allowing me and my team to do what we do. We don't borrow money to operate. Every dollar that comes in goes back out in terms of ministry, allowing us to do what we do intentionally. And I just want to say thank you for being a part of it. If you can join us today, would you do that? Well, make sure you receive the teaching. Just go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. Click on that donate button. I look forward to having you pop up on the screen so we can say thank you for your support, because that matters. In fact, you can go online right now, 24 hours a day, to join in with the ministry of intentional living at theintentionallife.com. Today we've been talking about turning your marriage around. You know how you turn your marriage around? It starts with turning yourself around. If you need some changes in your own life, get it right with God. That's going to be the first step of turning that marriage around. Have a great day. Hey, listen, I'll see you next time here at Intentional Living.